Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Fellow Marketplace Christians, stop apologizing and start winning. Welcome to the Success Edge, the show that helps you take your walk as a Marketplace Christian to the next level. Here's your host, Christian entrepreneur Tyler McCart.
What's going on, Kingdom Success? This is Tyler McCart coming at you. Episode 342. Excited to be able to do this episode with you guys. Man, this is going to be a really, really good one. I've got seven C's to getting, actually kingdom principles. Man, this is going to be a kingdom principle of how to operate in the kingdom of God episode, if I've ever had one before. It's been a little while probably since I've talked specifically about how to operate in the kingdom and how kingdom economics work. Yes, you heard me, kingdom economics. Golly, guys, thank you, Lord, for just giving me wisdom to be able to speak to my audience and just convey this message to them. I appreciate you, Father. Give me wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So last night, I was dropping my son and his friend off at youth group last night, and we got talking about economics, actually. Two seventh grade boys in the car with me, and we get talking about economics, and it had to do with actually gas prices and people not wanting to spend money because gas prices are high, or having to drive whatever amount of distance just because they don't want to spend money on gas, because money in their mind is, there's scarcity of money, and where money is actually in abundance. You've heard me talk about it a couple different times, but I've just had to learn that money is like air, and I don't sit there and I'm not really worried about air, because there's plenty of air to breathe. As long as I have the ability to breathe in air, I have an abundance of air. So therefore, money is a lot like air, because guess what? There's an abundance of money out there. And I believe that, there should not be, this just me again, I'm not really saying this, honestly, this is the word, there should not be, you might be down and out right now, but you don't have to stay down and out. God, Jesus came to set, what is this? He says, actually, his old proclamation of to restore the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor. That gospel is more than just, hey, let's punch your ticket card to heaven. Okay. It's more than that. And, I just hope and pray that, everyone in the sound of my voice understands that, it's not just for the sweet by and by. It is for here. It is here for here also, so that you can reign in life as a king. I mean, it says that in scripture. I'm just quoting scripture. I'm not, this isn't something Tyler's making up. I'm not smart enough to make all this stuff up. So kingdom economics, as we were talking about it with those, young men, there's whole entire people that are dedicated to economics. But, as a believer, I believe that you need to have a study of kingdom economics and how kingdom economics functions. And I have been talking about this with, my track and field preseason people that are coming out. And that is around this whole premise of that, guess what? There is a granddaddy principle that applies to everything that God has brought about. God has brought about basically this principle, and it's a law. It's not even a principle, because It's a law. You cannot get around this. Is, you know, I hear people talk about, you know, they don't believe that, you know, if you sow this right here, you're going to get that. Well, they believe it in the negative sense. I've heard, you know, my you know, some parents, even my own parents, you know, say, hey, you know, you know you're going to reap what you sow, and they're meaning that in a sense of the negative side. You know, if you continue to do bad things, you're going to get bad things in your life. Well, the exact same is true for the positive. And that's something that we, as born again, child of the Most High God, you know, individuals have got to start to believe and understand that it operates the same way with us. Is that, guess what? At the end of the day, you are where you are mainly because of the seeds that you've sown. Yeah. And you've sown good seed, you're going to reap a good harvest. And the thing that I want to reiterate to you guys is that you have to be ready for your harvest. You have to be ready to bring in your harvest. And you have to be ready to receive your harvest and accept your harvest. That is, golly, I mean, that right there will just preach. But the thing I talk to my athletes about, or the things I've been kind of, you know, really harping on with my athletes, is, you know, this whole entire thing about work and how you view work. You know, work is a gift from God. Yep, you heard me right. Work is a gift from God. Work actually helps to unearth or reveal your potential. The more that you can sow work, the more you will reap from that work that you have sown for us. You know, your work is a seed that you sow towards something that you are trying to get better at, something that you, you know, have a desire for, a result for. I do believe that you should not just aimlessly do work, that you should have a harvest in mind. Man, that's good stuff right there, what I just said. You don't just aimlessly sow seed, because that's wasteful. If I just sat there and had a whole bunch of apple seed, and, you know, I number one, I didn't even know it was apple seed, but let's say I did know it was apple seed, but I didn't care. I'm just going to throw it out wherever, and I don't even care where it lands. Number one, how do I even know when it grows? And number two, how do I even know what the type of soil is? There's all these different things that kind of come into the play with this. But, you know, one of the things I've been telling, you know, these athletes is, guess what, guys? The quality of your work will produce the quality of your harvest. If you sow crap seed, you're going to reap crap harvest. But the exact opposite is true. If you sow quality seed, if you sow good seed, you're going to reap good quality harvest. And I'm just a firm believer in that the quality of your harvest is determined by the quality of your seed that you sow. And we have to take a step back as, you know, born again Christians and start to really analyze and look at the activities from that perspective. The activities in your job, the activities of the harvest that you want in your life. And the reason why I want to talk about this and go through these seven things that are going to help you to reap your harvest is, number one, you know, you got to know what you want. You got to know your why. You know, your why is definitely more important than the how, because the how, you know, will appear if you know your why. But if you don't know your why, you never know what the how is. So for me, Amy and I, we have a definite why right now that we're working, that we're not working towards, or we're believing, you know, because believing is also work. That's even good right there. Believing is also work. You know, you might not sit there and think that, but believing is also work. So we're believing for something right now. And great minister of the gospel, Terry Savelle Foy, you know, it's been really cool to watch her journey as a minister. I do remember back in, I think, golly, it had to be like 2006, maybe 2007, her dad, Jerry Savelle, came to our church and ministered at our church. Now, what took place with Jerry ministering to us was awesome. You know, I can, this whole lesson I'm going to, or just even talk that I'm going to give right now, hands down, will give you the ability to see, hey, you know what? This stuff right here is good stuff. That message he preached at that time was really hands down. But I remember Terry working at the book table. Yeah. And I remember seeing her, this redhead, young lady. I think she's a little bit older than I am. But I remember her working at the book table with her dad. And, you know, she was just doing what she normally should be doing, of working, serving, you know, doing those things, you know, to help her dad out. She probably I think that time was in her 40s, not 40s, but maybe mid to late 30s. So anyway, Terry now is, I mean, she calls herself this cheerleader of dreams. You know, if you haven't read any of her stuff or gone to her YouTube stuff, I highly encourage you. She's got an anointing upon her to be able to help you accomplish your dreams. And it's all in the Bible. It's stuff that I've been taught for many, many years. And, you know, but she has a great way of crystallizing it, of being able to give you great analogies that makes sense to help you on your journey and to be able to utilize God's word of having your dreams come to fruition. Well, a couple of months ago, she put out something. I was listening to one of her podcasts, and she talked about how that she had this faith building event that was going to be happening on November the 11th. November the 1st, 11:1, and it coincided with Hebrews 11:1, basically where that scripture verse says, now faith is things that we had hoped for, things that we have not seen, and so forth. So anyway, go and read the scripture verse yourself. I'm driving. I'm not going to say. But faith is the things we hope for, the title deed, that's what in the Amplified class, the title deed of what we want. So here I am. I'm like, hark. This is success 101 right here, guys. Hark. Amy and I have got a vision of something that we're actually have been believing God for. And we feel led. Now, watch this, guys. We feel led right now that our timing, that we're being released to actually go forth and do this. Okay, that we feel led to go forth and do this. So we believe that God has kind of allowed us to move forward in this time. All right, of our lives. To go forth and actually do this right. So anyway, I had to get a quick drink of water. Actually, a protein shake is what I'm drinking right now. So herein lies this whole entire thing. Now watch this, okay? So opportunity arose. Amy and I, we'd been preparing. We'd been seeking the Lord on this. We had stayed behind the cloud. And all of a sudden, an event is going to happen. This basically specifically, you know, for this type of thing. You know, it was Terry and them had Terry, you know, had really kind of latched on to this whole title deed, and she had you know, just purchased her own office building, and she'd seen the manifestation of it, and she'd really felt the Lord wanting to use her testimony to help other people, you know, see and release that for her. Okay, so I got to the point where that I'm like, I want a part of that. I want to make myself available for this event. I want to attend this event. And it was a live stream event that took place. And let me pause real quick and tell you guys and encourage you guys that if you have the opportunity, if the opportunity presents itself, do what this is something that Amy and I have done for many, 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 many years. When the opportunity opened itself up to get around people that were in life where we wanted to be. Okay? Notice that's how I said that. We had an opportunity to present, because there's a lot of webinars, a lot of, you know, live stream events, a lot of podcast, you know, live stream events or whatever, a lot of conferences that are, you know, presented. But, you know, if you know what you want and you have an opportunity that opens up for you, guess what? I'm telling you guys, I'm just telling you from our own experience, from my own vantage point, Amy and I do try, as long as it fits in line with what God, we feel the Lord leading us to, we have a peace about it, all right? That's a big key, a peace about going to an event. We do whatever it takes to get there. I know that there were, early on in a marriage, we had an opportunity to go to a conference where they was going to help us out with a specific business that we were that we have and we still have. And instead of giving each other Christmas gifts, because we didn't have enough money, we bought each other tickets to that event. That was the gift to us, and the hotel room. Obviously, there was other expenses that go in line with all that. But that was the gift at Christmas time that we gave each other. I know that you're like saying, man, that's pretty extreme. Well, I wanted to know what these people knew. I wanted to be in life where these people were. And you know what's cool? I am now. Praise God. I am now. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same. All right, let's go back. So here I am. I'm at this, November the 1st arrives, and Amy and I both are on the live stream together, and we're both hearing the same thing, which is very important if you're a married couple. I can't stress that enough, attending events together as a married couple so that you're on the same page with each other. Well, Terry kicks off and gives this whole entire seven C's that have helped her get her dreams accomplished, okay? And I want to share these seven things with you. I'm just going to glance down and read the go through these seven C's. So the first thing that she talked about was a contract. You might say a contract. What do you mean a contract, Tyler? Contract. That's exactly what I said, contract. So it says actually in Philippians that we are to write out our petitions, all right? We are to make our petitions known to our Heavenly Father. Well, that means a petition, you know, if I go and petition a court, I am writing out something and I am laying it before a judge specifically in detail of what we do. I can tell you that Amy and I, the house that we live in today, we did that months in advance, about a year or so in advance before we actually lived in the house that we currently live in today. We wrote out exactly where we wanted to live, how far away the school was, how far away church was, how far away we were going to be from my parents. We wrote out how many bathrooms we wanted. We wrote out how many rooms we wanted. We wrote out every single thing that we even wrote out that we wanted to be on a cul-de-sac where there wouldn't be a lot of traffic for our, you know, young, for people to be able to do. We wrote that out. Okay? We wrote that out. The second C, let me go back. You've got to write out exactly what you want. You might be bleeding for kids. Well, what does your kids look like? Write it out. Go to scripture, find out what it says in the word, and write out your petition. Okay? I'm at a red light, so I can go on to number two. Claim it. Okay, claim it. This is actually found in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24. Anyway, here's what I'm going to claim it. All right. You know, some people, you know, will have their whole entire thing of like, name it, claim it. You know, you're sort of blab it and grab it type people. And no, I'm doing what the word says. The word says to, when you pray, I mean, I'm just reading what the word says to guys. When you pray, believe that you have received what you pray for. It's in red. So, in essence, you claim it. You believe and you claim what you have or what you have believed God for. It's just like I ordered something, you know, off here recently. And guess what? I believed that I was going to receive that item. There is no difference in the spirit about that, okay? No difference in the spirit, because honestly, the spirit realm has influenced the earthly realm. It's not the other way around, guys. So this is a kingdom economic principle right here. Once you believe for it, you need to, and you know, yeah, I'll talk about that real quick. So let me say, I'll just tell the story. So my daughter, and this is something, just your attitude of your heart and going back to believe and receive it and have joy about once you believe and receive it. Okay, this is where I'm going with this. So my daughter, not to try to get into all the details, she has a notebook. She's been, you know, journaling in that notebook and writing things down in that notebook. She's been carrying this around. She got this from her dad. Anyway, she put it in this carry thing that, you know, really I was loading up the truck, and I just set out on a picnic table at a park her journal amongst some other things that I thought, you know, okay, surely she's going to see this and someone's going to pick it up or she's going to pick it up and see it and we're going to, you know, move on. But anyway, she didn't see it and I didn't think anything about it. We left the park. We were gone the whole entire day, the next day, and wouldn't you know it, the next night, so we're 24 hours past where we were, the next night, she realizes that she didn't have her notebook because she can't write in it, and she was wanting to write in it, and she was highly upset. Okay, let me get a quick swig of this real quick. So, you know, I apologize for making the mistake of taking it out of the thing that she had put it in, you know, because that's where she had remembered she'd put it. I apologize for that. And I even went to the park myself at 10 o'clock at night to see if I could find it. Couldn't find it. Well, in the interim of me going to the park, my wife and her prayed and asked God that she would receive back her journal that she'd been journaling in, and that she would receive it back, and that, you know, that her angels would go forth and minister on her behalf and bring back the journal. Okay? I'm just telling you, this is all stuff I'm getting ready to cover, by the way, right here. So the next morning, so this is a Monday morning, she gets up, and it's actually a kind of a celebration. It's my son's birthday. And you know, we're kind of all happy and, you know, singing happy birthday in the morning. We have breakfast donuts for Tyler, and we're singing all that. Well, guess who comes down to grumpy pants, okay, and highly upset and doesn't even want to sing. I don't even know if she even sang that morning at all. Well, she was upset and mad still about the journal that Dad had left it somewhere and forgotten it, and she was still upset about that with it. Well, we just kind of went on about our morning, didn't really worry about that anymore. Said, you know, hey, it's, you know, it is what it is. Well, isn't it interesting? later that evening, I go down to the mailbox to get the mail, and I find her journal actually inside our mailbox. She had written in the flyleaf of the journal her address and her name, and there was a note attached to the journal saying, hey, we just found this in the park. We wanted to return this. Glad you put your address on there. Hope it makes you happy. And boom, God's favor, favor produced. You know, the angels went forth and ministered on Trinity's behalf and so forth. Well, she was elated. She was so excited about this. But I had, after her celebration and thanking God for it, I had to bring her back to that morning and say, sweetheart, this is not how you operate. This is not how you, you know, believe and receive something. You know, if you truly believed and received something, it doesn't matter what life throws at you, brings at you. Your attitude is always an attitude of praise and thanksgiving and an expectation that, guess what? It's getting ready to happen. Okay? It's getting ready to happen. So that is claim it. Believe and receive your what you believe for. All right? So, because I mean, I just remember this quote that was said. I really like this quote. And basically the quote is that you can't hire somebody to do your own push-ups. And that's from Jim Rohn. It's a great testimony. You can't hire someone to do your own push-ups. It doesn't work that way. Okay? You've got to claim it and do it yourself. All right? Number three, command it. All right? You just heard me talk about that we commissioned, or actually, let me back up. Command the enemy by your authority in Jesus' name to get his hands off of your harvest. You've got to command the enemy to get out of the way, to remove any hindrances or obstacles that would prevent your harvest from manifesting. That's number three right there. Okay, you've got to kick Satan's butt. Number four, commission it. You've got to commission your angels to go forth and minister on your behalf. Tell your angels, give them something to do. I know that seems wild, but guess what? They are ministering spirits. They're supposed to minister on your behalf, guys. That's what they do. They are to minister on your behalf. Number five, contribute towards it. This is where, you know, you kind of get seed in the ground. This is where seed kind of comes in, where you actually, you know, you can sow for it financially. You can sow for it by doing work for free. You can sow for it, you know, by, you know, giving something of yourself to someone else. It could be clothes. It could be whatever you need. Sow a seed. You know, I'm just always reminded that I just always remember this quote from, it was, I think, Jerry Savelle. He always would say, you know, when you start to talk to God about your need, he's always going to talk to you about sowing a seed. It's just how God does it. When you start talking to God about your need, he's going to talk to you about sowing a seed. That's how God operates, guys. He doesn't sit there and, you know, mince words about it. He actually starts to talk to you about, hey, here's something you need to sow for. Here's something you need to do. I'll give you just a case in point. You know, when I was in corporate sales, my sales numbers were not doing so hot. Okay. And so I went to the Lord and said, "Hey, Lord, I need some help with my sales numbers." This is Kingdom 101. And I said, "Lord, you know, I need my sales number to increase." And isn't it interesting? About a week later or a couple days later, I get a phone call from a fellow rep, and he needed help with a conference that he was going to be doing for an all-day event for one of his big clients. And he needed to set up a booth and have, you know, help assisting and going through things and handing out things and so forth like that. Well, I was going to get no benefit from that, but I saw this as an opportunity, because the seed, guys, is going to be sacrificial. A seed is going to be something you've got to give away. It's going to be something that is going to cost you something. So I saw this as an opportunity. So I sowed my time, a whole entire day of me not selling to or not going out on for my own clients or for my own territory, but helping this gentleman. And I sowed that seed in the name of increasing my sales. And wouldn't you know, it was a month later, I landed one of my biggest accounts that I had ever landed at that time. And I don't have time to go into all how it all happened, but I landed a big account that I needed. There's no coincidence. It's called seed time and harvest. It's called how God operates. All right? So if you have a need, sow a seed. That's just kingdom. All right? Come into agreement. This is number six. Come into agreement. You need to come into agreement with someone, your spouse, definitely. My wife and I, we came into agreement about seed that we sowed during that event that Terry was having, and we came into agreement. I also contacted another friend of mine that I knew he would come into agreement with me about the seed that we sowed. So we sowed seed. And we came into agreement with someone else about the seed, about the harvest that we were going to receive. Okay, this is a kingdom. This is kingdom. Okay, and then seven. And this kind of goes back to my daughter's attitude adjustment that needed to happen. Number seven is continually praise God for the harvest. So you begin to just thank God. The last thing that you should always do when you're in the midst of doing this and believing for something is continually thank God for the harvest. Continually thank God and expect God to come through for you. And he will. God will do it. I mean, this is all just biblical stuff. You know, right now, the thing that, you know, Amy and I, we believe and when we pass by these types of things that we happen, we just say grace, grace to them. It's just a form of praise that we have saying, Lord, we know that. It's almost like saying, Jesus, Jesus, we rely 100% on you, Lord, that you're going to do this for us. And guys, these are the seven things. And let me go back over them real quick with you. Write a contract, number one, get a contract, write out your petition, all right? Number two, claim it, believe and receive what you've prayed for. Number three, command it, tell Satan to get his hands, all the demonic activity out of your way. Tell him and get any kind of unforgiveness or anything out of your heart as well. If you've got a grudge or anything like that you're holding on to, get it rid of it, okay? Number four, commission it. You've got to commission your angels to go forth and minister on your behalf, all right? You've got to do that. Number five, you've got to contribute. You've got to sow seed. It can be in the form of multiple ways. Seed is in the multiple things, but God gives seed to the sower. He's already given you something that you can go and contribute to someone else. You've got to contribute to it. Number six, come in agreement with someone else that will agree with you. Not someone that's going to poo-poo all over, you know, what you have believed for. Don't share, you know, you don't just share everything with everybody, all right? You just don't do that. I mean, there's a reason why I don't just sit there and blab right across, you know, what I'm believing for. I don't. I do it with specific people that will come into agreement with me. Number seven is continually praise God for the harvest. All right. That's it, guys. I mean, oh, by the way, since I'm at a red light right here, when you pray, we come into God's presence. But when you praise God, God comes into your situation. Man, that's a powerful statement. When you pray, you come into God's presence. But when you praise, God comes into your situation. Powerful word right there. I love that. I love that. Gang, I love you guys. I wanted to share that with you. I think it's going to help you out in getting whatever you're believing for, whatever your dreams are. God wants to bring those to pass. He's not sitting there holding, you know, things back from you. You know, God will always, I remember hearing, I can't remember who said it, but the minister of gospel said this, and it's always stuck with me. God will meet you at the level of your belief. God will meet. So believe for big things, guys. Believe for big things. And seek God on the season of when you should start believing for those things. Seek God on when you should start believing, you know, for the season, or open your eyes up to the season of when you should start believing for those things, guys. So, kingdom success. Know that you're blessed, you're highly favored, you're empowered to prosper, you walk in divine health, the spirit of breakthrough is upon you, guys, and gang, we'll catch you on the other side.